We're going to be talking about putting God first today, and just some thoughts as we go through. Let's just all stand, if you will. We'll read the verse written there, and then we'll pray. Give reverence to God's word, all right? At least for the reading in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And there it's written down there. Let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, right now, we want You to have the preeminence. Lord, right now, we want You to be first in our thoughts. Lord, I pray that everything that will come into our head, everything that will come into our hearts, everything will come to our handphones, I pray we will ignore all of that and put our minds and heart to Your precious word. That, Father, You will fill us with Thy Holy Spirit, and that Thy Spirit will speak to us in a genuine way, that our lives will change, Lord. And I'm sure, Lord, many of us who came today have a heart to want to at least hear what Your word have to say. And I pray, Lord, that we will be better Christians in some area of our life as a result of what Thy word will teach us today. I pray that the Holy Spirit will take Your word, apply it to our hearts. We'll thank You for what You're going to do. For those who are still on their way, bring them quickly. If they're trying to turn back, tell them to come, Lord, that they might hear Thy precious word now. We thank You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Okay, based on Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 here, the Bible talks about Christ's headship over the church. He is the head of the body, the church. Okay? Jesus Christ is the head. He is the chief of the local church, Ambassador Baptist Church, okay? It's not Brother Johnny. I've been put as an under-shepherd. Many of you are serving. We're all serving together. But the Lord Jesus Christ truly is the head of the church. The church belongs to Him. And Him being the firstborn from the dead. So He's the head of the church, and He is the firstborn from the dead. That means He's the first person to actually rise from the dead, right? Is He the first person to rise from the dead? No. Then how come He's the firstborn from the dead? Who was the first person to rise from the dead? In the New Testament, Sorry? Quite a number of people. Remember the widow of Nain? Remember the widow of Nain has a son who died in the funeral as they were going the procession. Jesus raised the young son up. Right? Then there's Lazarus. Okay? But why is Jesus the firstborn from the dead if he wasn't the first one to rise from the dead? Okay, so Lazarus rose from the dead, he died again. Okay, the son of the widow of Nain rose again, died again. Jesus is the first one who rose again and lived forevermore. Okay, so that's why He's called the firstborn from the dead. And notice this, because of this, He's the head of the church and the firstborn from the dead, so that in all things, He might have the preeminence. By virtue of the fact that He is the head of the church, that's a position given to Him. And the fact that He rose from the dead, the firstborn from the dead, that places Him positioned to be first. Okay? Positioned to be first. For example, we call the first lady, the president, and the first lady. Why is she called the first lady? Because the president is our figurehead. Okay, and so the first lady belongs, obviously is the wife of the president. So it's called the first lady. The position was conferred on her. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ, head of the church, firstborn from the dead, confers on Him that He might have the preeminence in all things, in everything. Okay, just as Adam is the head of the human race, when Christ rose from the dead, He is the head of the redeemed race. Okay? So He's the first. The day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will have complete supremacy over this entire world. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, when Jesus comes back, every knee will bow. He will have complete supremacy. Okay? That's a glorious prospect for us. But within here, there's another personal application we need to take a look at. And that's what we're interested in today. Alright? That's just a big introduction, but there's a second part which is important for us. The word preeminence means occupying the foremost place, Preeminence means occupying the first place. The first place, okay, the foremost place. And here we're not thinking about one doctrine over another. We're not talking about one denomination or whatever. We're actually talking about one personality over another. That in all things he may have the preeminence. In other words, Jesus Christ should have first place in our lives. The personality of Christ should take over our personality as first place, okay? So in this situation, the one personality is the Lord Jesus Christ and the other personality is us. All right, and today we just want to look at this whole question. Is God first in our lives? Let's look at 3 John. 3 John verse 9. Okay, 3 John verse 9. Then we just go through a few devotional thoughts, then we'll pray. Okay, 3 John verse number 9. Let's read together. Let's read together. Okay, ready? 3 John verse 9. Ready? 1. Not the Gospel of John, 3 John. 3 John verse 9. Ready? 1, 2, go. I wrote unto the church by Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receive us not. Okay, there was a situation in the church that John was writing to. There was this guy called Diotrephes. Okay, Diotrephes wanted to have the foremost place. He wanted to have a dictatorial position that no one else can be in charge except me. When the apostles wanted to come, he said, no way, get them out. Okay, and John says, I'm going to deal with him when they come. As apostles of the Lord, we have absolute authority to come to the churches based on the authority. And how dare Diotrephes, who wants the preeminence among them, when we come, John says, I will deal with him. Verse 10, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. Okay, John will deal with him when he come. So, there's this situation there. But you know what? For us ourselves, are we Diotrephes in our own life? That we will control our own life and not allow the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Some thoughts about putting Christ first. Just five quick thoughts. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, based on his conferment, based on his firstborn from the dead, based on his church, alone has the right to occupy the foremost place in our human experience. The Lord Jesus Christ has absolute right. He alone has the right to occupy the foremost place in our human life, human experience, as a Christian. He has absolute right. He has absolute right. Okay, there's only one person in the whole of God's universe who has that right, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil may want to come in. Friends may want to take our place. And you know what? Sometimes we relinquish our first place to someone else, something else. But the Lord Jesus Christ should have the first place. Okay, three reasons. Number one, because he made us. In Colossians 1:16, can we turn there please? Colossians 1:16. Or maybe we have Jairo, you can turn to Colossians 1:16. And then Jeremiah, you turn to Proverbs 16:4. Edward, you can turn to Isaiah 43 verse 7. And after this, we all turn to Colossians 1:13 and 14. Okay. Colossians 1 verse 16. Okay. By Christ, all things were created. But notice, you hear the last part. All things were created by Him and for Him. By Him, by Christ, and for Him. Do you realize that we are all created for Christ? For Christ. In other words, for the purpose of serving, for the purpose of being part and parcel of His plan. We are created for Christ. That's what the Bible says here. Okay, we are created for Christ. Okay. We are created for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we are created for the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that, okay, sorry, in Proverbs 16 verse 4, okay, the Lord has created all things for Himself. Everything in this universe is created for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43 verse 7. God made us in order that we might be first. He might be first in our hearts and in our lives. And that's an important principle. You know, when we were... Okay, remember, we'll just go on. The next one, firstly, Christ has absolute right to be first in our life because He made us. Number two, He has absolute right to be first in our life because He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. Okay, let's turn to Colossians 1:13. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And if Sister Jamie, you can turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. Colossians 1:13 and 14. Let's read together, right? Ready? 1, 2, go. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ has absolute right to be first in our life because He not only made us, He redeemed us. He saved us from our sin. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. A kingdom has a king. A kingdom has a king. Okay? Sir Jamie, can you please read 1 Peter 1, 18, 19? As much as ye know, you were not bought with corruptible things from your meaningless conversation of your past. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He saved us from a meaningless past and put us into the kingdom of God. Okay, the kingdom needs a king. The question is, who is the king in your kingdom? Who is the king in your kingdom? If we are Christians, the genuine king is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, because He bought us, and we belong to Him legally, by the way. Because He bought us. We belong to Him legally because He bought us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. We belong to God by legal right because He bought us. Okay, and so He Himself must be the master. Okay, through His infinite sacrifice upon Calvary and the mighty power of His resurrection, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and put us into the kingdom of His Son that He loves. And so, do we acknowledge Christ as our King? Do we acknowledge Christ as our King? Okay, every child who has trusted Christ, every young teen and adult can acknowledge Christ as the King, right? And the third reason why Christ has absolute right to be foremost is because God has given Him the supremacy. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Just now we mentioned it, but we'll just look at the verse so that we understand. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 11. God has given Him the supremacy to be in charge of our lives. Let's read together, okay? Verse chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Ready? 1, 2, go. Wherefore God also had highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Some people will say, but Brother Johnny, you know this one will only happen when Jesus Christ comes as King. Well, that's true. But you know what? This has already been conferred. The Lord Jesus is the King in the spiritual kingdom. For us being saved, we need to give Him His due. Okay? So, the reason why Jesus has absolute right to be first is because He made us, He redeemed us, and God has given Him supremacy. Okay? Thought number two. Though it is His right to occupy the foremost place in our human experience, He does not always do so. Not that He doesn't want to, He doesn't always do so. He's not always free to exercise His right. There are two main reasons. Let's turn to two passages. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. There are two main reasons why. Of course, there are many, many reasons, but in this simple study, there's just two main reasons we want to highlight. Luke chapter 9, if you look at the scriptures, and maybe as you read it, maybe you can come out the answer. Why? What's the first reason why Jesus cannot exercise that right? In Luke 9:59, Let me just read. And then from there, come up with a reason why Jesus cannot absolutely exercise the right to be foremost. Okay? Luke 9:59 says, "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me or allow me first to go and bury my father." Verse 60, Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." Now, based on these three verses, why doesn't the Lord Jesus have, why can't the Lord Jesus exercise absolute right over our lives? Because of, well, it's okay, because of free will, okay? Because of free will. But in this passage, why isn't Jesus able to exercise right over this person's life? But there's two words. There's actually one word in 59 and 60. Suffer me first. Let me first. You know what? Self interferes. That's how Jeremiah talks about the fact that God has given us free will, yes. But we know that actually by position, Jesus should have first place, right? But you know, God has given us a free will. And one reason why he doesn't exercise the right, or he can't exercise the right, because self interferes with the process. Let me first. Let me first. Let me first. In verse 59, he said, and Jesus actually said to another, follow me. He actually asked, called the person to follow. But the person said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. If you read this passage clearly, the father is not dead yet. In the Jewish context, they must actually give respect and to actually take care of the parents, the final rites and all that before they can do anything. So it's a mark of respect. But you know what? He said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. Let me settle my things first. Basically, that's what he's saying. Let me settle my things. I know you want to call me. Yeah, I have a desire to follow me, but let me settle first. But you know what Jesus says? Let the dead bury their dead. God's kingdom needs people to immediately follow him. Okay? And one of the things when God called me was this verse. Was, let the dead bury the dead. Go down and preach the gospel. And I remember vividly when my pastor in Australia was saying, the world have its nurses, the world have their doctors, the world have their lawyers, the world have their engineers, but who is preaching the gospel? You know, and this is something that we can think about as we, young people, as we think of your life. This world have many engineers. This world have many doctors. This world have many nurses. This world is lacking, sadly lacking in missionaries. Guys, as you grow up, think, can I make my life worthwhile for God? When God calls us, okay? And so, in this situation, point number one, the first reason why Jesus doesn't always occupy first place is because of self. And the second reason, let's look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Luke 18. There was a certain ruler who came to Jesus in verse 18 and said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Okay? And so in this situation, of course, Jesus says, well, why callest thou me good? None is good except one, that is God. But you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother. All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come follow me. In verse 23, the Bible says, and he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. The second reason why Jesus cannot have first place sometimes in our Christian life is because of personal ambition, pleasures, or possessions. What we want to achieve in our lives. What we want to achieve in our lives. What we want to enjoy in our lives. Jesus says, come and follow me. If you really want to follow me, and many Christians have a desire to follow Christ. I dare say this, a lot of Christians would desire to follow Christ, but there's something they just cannot surrender, cannot let go. That's the thing God wants. Because God knows if we cannot surrender that, we cannot truly follow Him. We cannot truly make Him first in our lives, okay? There's a quote here that I want to read. The better, B-E-T-T-E-R, is often the enemy that keeps us from God's best. We feel that we want this, this is better, but the better is not from sin, it's not from the bad things. It's from what is better that's keeping us from what is God's best. Does it make sense? And we need to have the discernment to exercise, the exercise discernment to separate, Lord, what is good, what is better, and what is your will. But sometimes what the devil will do is he'll give you the better one. Ah, there's a better option. You know, you can do this. Yeah, you can serve God. No problem. You can. But actually God says, no. I want you to surrender this too. I want you to surrender this too. Okay? So point number two is, though Jesus had the right to occupy the foremost place, He doesn't always do so. But point number three, and this is interesting, the Lord Jesus may be present in our life because we are saved, but yet He's not preeminent. He's not number one. He's not number one. If we are a Christian, Jesus is truly present, but the question is He occupying the foremost place? Okay? I just want to, maybe I'll just borrow people. Jacob and Joseph. Can I borrow Jacob and Joseph? Yes. Can I borrow? Yes. Okay, as they come out, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6, okay? The Lord Jesus may be present in our lives, yet not preeminent. Okay, that's the point. Okay, and let's see. Maybe I borrow Edward. Come also. Okay, I need Jacob, you stand here. Joseph, you stand over here. Joseph will be the Lord Jesus, okay? You need a lot of imagination. Okay? You will be Satan. Okay? And you will be the Christian. Okay? And okay. This is a Christian who is struggling. He's struggling to see who he wants to put first in his life. Okay? The person who he will give this hammer to will be the one that will be preeminent in his life. Okay? He's Satan. He's the Lord Jesus. Okay? Decide that. You're going to give the hammer to? You decide. So if basically if you give the hammer to the Lord Jesus, He can clobber him. Okay? But if you give him, of course he cannot clobber Jesus. But of course, because Jesus is much more powerful. But then he will have limited power to help you. Does it make sense? But he will be able to clobber you. Okay, obviously he'll give to the Lord Jesus, right? Okay, so you can stop clobbering him. Okay, thank you. Okay, I wanted to make a point here. Who has the hammer? The Christian has a hammer, right? When we have a problem in our life and we want God to change us, what kind of prayer do we often pray? Oh Lord, please help me to be strong. Lord, please help me to be strong. Lord, please help me to be strong. No, when we pray that, we have not committed. I want to highlight this because, do you know who is the one who makes a decision who's in charge of your life? Read Romans. Let's read Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Okay, Romans chapter 6. The question is, who is the one who makes a decision who is in charge of your life? Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans chapter 6 is a passage on sanctification. When we become Christians, we hold the choice as to whether or not we are continuing to serve Satan or continuing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the hammer was in the Christian's hand. Okay? If you will give the Lord Jesus a hammer, he will clobber Satan inside. And this Christian will grow because he's allowing, he's submitting himself. Lord, I'm giving you the authority to do whatever you want in my life. Okay? But then if he gives us over to Satan and lives for the devil, then of course he'll clobber the Christians because Satan cannot touch the Lord Jesus. And so the Christian will, yeah, he may still think he's enjoying life, but remember, sin is always pleasure for a season. And I want to make this point because the Bible makes this point. Christian, we are in charge of submitting ourselves to God. But the Bible says, even not for God, you are against Him. When we choose to live for the world, we are against the Lord. This is a scary thought. Let's turn to James chapter 4. It's a scary thought. James chapter 4. And James is just an old-fashioned preacher who doesn't pull his punches, all right? He just go for it. In James chapter 4, verse 4, he's dealing with the Jewish Christians. He said this. James 4, verse 4, and there's a key word there. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. There's a small four-letter word there, W-I-L-L. Whosoever will be a friend of the world. If you even have a desire to be a friend of the world, if you desire the things of the world above the things of God, God says you become an enemy of God. That's a scary thought. In other words, you don't have to do it outwardly. It's in your heart. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember there was one question that was asked of Jesus in the Gospels. Someone asked Jesus, Lord, where's the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is neither here nor there, but the kingdom of God is where? Within you. The kingdom of God is within you. When we trusted Christ, God's reign and God's kingdom comes into our lives. Okay? But sometimes we still want to yield ourselves to the devil or to sin, to pleasures of this world. And you know one thing about sin is that you enjoy it first. Satan always gives you first. But now you got to pay back later. The point here, the Lord Jesus may be present, yet He's not preeminent. So Christians, is Christ preeminent first place? Are you allowing Him the hammer to clobber Satan and sin? Or are you giving the hammer to the devil? And by the way, the devil will clobber those people who gives him authority. Did you know that? The devil always betrays those people who listen to him. Always. Satan always betray those who live for him. Always. You know how I know? Those people who are addicted to drugs, who wins? Satan will laugh. Because once you're addicted to drugs, you're gone. Your life can be destroyed and you can be hanged. Okay? Remember Judas Iscariot who loved money? What happened to him? Yeah, he repented the sorrow of this world. He went to the wrong path. He hanged himself too. Satan always betrays those who follow him. Why follow him? You know why? Sometimes men love darkness rather than light. We need to surrender that and get back to Lord. Let the Lord Jesus be preeminent, okay? So point number four, moving along. The Lord Jesus may be prominent, but sometimes he may still not be preeminent. That is, Jesus, for us sometimes as Christians, we're serving God, we're doing a lot for God. He may still hold a very big part of our lives. And yet not, he doesn't hold the place in our life. The foremost place. Oh yeah, we are willing to do a lot for him, but he doesn't still sit on the throne. He's just one of the advisors. Oh yeah, we allow him, we listen to him in many things, but he's not the king on the throne. Because we are still sitting on it. We want him to be our advisor, but we want, but the encouragement is, let the Lord Jesus Christ be preeminent. Let's turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse 23, 24. This is where we need the Lord Jesus to help us see, Lord, are you first place? Or are you my advisor? Or my keen advisor? And everything I want to do, I still consult you. But Lord, I'm still in charge. I hold the final say. All right? And that's where we need God to search us. Psalm 139, verse 23, 24. See? Just now we'll talk about it. Ready? Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay? The way everlasting is allowing Christ to be in the center of our lives. Okay, where our ways will always have eternal outcomes. And then final point, final thought on putting God first. When the Lord Jesus does occupy the foremost place in our human experience, four things will be true. Okay, four things will be true. Let's turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Four things will be true when Jesus does hold the place of preeminence in our life. John chapter 21 verse 15. Number one, there will be supreme love for Him. Supreme love for Him. We will love Him more than any other person's, more than any other's service, more than any other one's. In John chapter 21 verse 15, this is precisely the question Jesus asked Simon Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? These could mean two things. These could mean, Simon Peter, do you love me more than all these disciples? Or it could mean that, Simon Peter, do you love me more than the nets that you are seeing, the fishes that you just caught? Do you love me more than the occupations of this world? These are the two levels. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? And that's an important question. When we truly let Jesus Christ be first, there will be supreme love. We will say, yes, Lord, I love you more than all these things. You are number one. Okay? The number two thing that will happen when Jesus Christ is number one is there will be unquestioning obedience to His command. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14, 15, you'll keep my commandments. There will be unquestioning obedience to the commandments of His first place. In fact, when the Apostle Peter became a Christian, what was the first thing he said? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Or not, what can I do for you? Because when I say, what can I do for you? Sometimes there are certain things that is asked, oh no, sorry, I cannot do that. Or so, what would thou have me to do? What is your will for me? Okay? So the first one is there will be supreme love to His person. Number two, there will be unquestioning obedience to His instructions. Whatever He tells us, we will do. We'll deal with that more on Sunday. But whatever He tells us, we will do. And then the third thing that will happen in our life when He is first place, there will be complete submission to His will. When the Lord Jesus occupies the foremost place in my life, I will be willing to serve Him in any sphere of His choice. And it must be His will. And if it's necessary to give up my life for Him, my attitude will be, Lord, that is Your will. Therefore, Lord, I'm going to do it. Okay? So there will be complete submission to His will. That means, in whatever station of life that God put us in, whatever difficulties we may have to face, that sometimes it is not our doing, we will thank God for the situation firstly, and secondly, be willing to say, Lord, if this is Your will, then Lord, I'm willing to be under it. Okay? Sometimes we are in positions that, we are put in positions whereby it's our own boo-boo, quite boo-boo. Then we have to pay the consequences of that. And you know what? In that situation, we just have to say, Lord, I'm just going to submit to Your chastisement and discipline. That is still God's will. But sometimes things happen in our life that, Lord, what did I do? You know, I didn't do anything. And yet, if that is God's cause, we should say, Lord, Thy will be done. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, going to the cross, He didn't have to die at the cross. But He says, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. I know Your will is for me to die at the cross because of this people's sins. But Lord, I'm willing. I love them. I love You. And I'd rather escape because I don't want to separate from You. Not my will, but Thine be done. Done. Okay? And then the fourth thing that will happen is there will be love for the brethren. Alright? I just read three verses. So maybe I'll get... Brother June, if you can turn to 1 John 3:10. Then Leandra. 1 John 3:14. And then Joanna, can you read 1 John 4:20? 1 1 John 3:10. Okay. 3 verse 14. First John 4 verse 20. Okay, there will be love for the brethren. The love of Christ will come in as we put Him first, and it will flow out to our brethren. Okay, so those are five thoughts. Just as we close, some personal reflection. Number one, is He first in our life? In Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Not seek ye first the kingdom of God and what I want to do, His righteousness. His kingdom refers to anything that is within the principles of the kingdom of God. Anything that is important to the kingdom of God, I'm going to seek after. Example, souls. Example, church. Example, God's will in my life. Example, foreign fields. Example, anything that pertains to His kingdom. Holiness. Okay? Reconciliation. Okay? Forgiveness. Or anything that pertains to the kingdom of God, I'm interested in. You know, as Christians, we need to be spiritually minded. That's one thing. But also His righteousness. The word His righteousness means in every situation, there is always a right and a wrong. And we will always seek what is right. We will not go to what is wrong. For example, if between, like just now, Edward, between giving the hammer to Satan and the Lord Jesus, seeking the righteousness of God means I'll give the hammer straight away to Jesus. I wouldn't even think about it. Seeking first the kingdom of God, even at the expense of our possessions, you know what God says? All these things will be added unto you. You take care of my business, I'll take care of yours, basically. Okay? I put three areas. Number one, decisions. Is He first in our decisions, personally? What we decide, personally? Is He first in our activities? Do our activities reflect Jesus being first? And do our relationships reflect Jesus being first? In every aspect, these three. Okay. Then number two, in Joshua 24 verse 15, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, for as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was determined by the head of the house. And the others just say, "Yes, sir, follow." Okay? Now, then we need to ask, is He first in our families? Is Jesus foremost in our decisions as a family? When we make decisions as a family, is Jesus Christ foremost? When we have activities within the family, does it reflect the glory of God and His righteousness? Or is it only for self-entertainment? And is my relationship within my family reflecting the glory of God as well? Is He first, even in my relationships within my family? Okay. Sometimes, maybe in this family thing, sometimes we do take each other for granted in the family, right? We do take each other for granted. We just assume that the other person will understand. You know what? We need to show courtesy to within the family. And finally, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That is not a salvation verse. Revelation 3:20. Oftentimes used as a salvation verse, it is actually not a salvation verse. It is when the church of Laodicea basically had put Jesus Christ out of the church. The question for us as a church we need to ask, is He first in our decisions as a church? Is He first in our activities as a church? Is He first in our relationships in the church? And for those who know a little bit, I'll just finish with this. Those who know, I think it was Hoffman Hunt. Hoffman Hunt is the painter, you know, the famous picture that Jesus Christ is knocking at the door. Right? Do you remember that? There's a picture of Hoffman Hunt where Jesus is at the door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Do you realize in that picture, there is no doorknob? You can look at it. There's no doorknob outside. And the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The door doesn't have a doorknob. So when Jesus knocked, He cannot open the door. Representing the only people that can actually open the door in the church It's actually the church themselves. It's to say, Lord, you come in. You know, as a church, we need to put Christ foremost. He is the head. He must be foremost. And certain things, if our lives are not right, we must change. Why? Because if He is the foremost, we listen to Him. Sometimes it may actually go against what we think, but we still need to put Him first. Okay? Any questions as we close in putting God first? Christians, let's put God first, because He deserves that place in our lives. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Okay, then we take some prayer requests after this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this simple Bible study of putting Him first. Lord, you deserve that first place. And I believe all of us would agree with that. Lord, you rose from the dead to show that you have power over death and sin and everything, Lord, that we can ever, that we need to ever stand for. Lord, you are the head of the church, and you are our master and Lord as you have saved us. You redeemed us. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, we ask you, Lord, as a church, firstly, as we band together, Lord, we ask you, we invite you, Lord, to be first in our church. Lord, there are many things that we still need to work through, but Lord, you know there's no perfect church. But yet, God, we're not going to use it as an excuse not to strive towards that holiness and maturity you want us to head towards. There are many things still, Lord, we need your help with. And Father, may you be always first. The Lord Jesus may always be foremost in our church. Father, we pray for every family. Lord, I pray that you will be foremost in every family's decisions, in every activity, Lord, that is planned within the family will reflect your goodness, your kingdom, your righteousness. And Lord, we pray for every relationship within the family too, that you will be foremost, that you will be the silent listener to every conversation, and that, Father, you will be first, even in the relationships within the family. That every decision made, every sorrow that has to be gone through by the family, or every joy, Lord, they will give you thanks. They will give you praise first because you are foremost. And Father, I pray for every individual Christian. Lord, I'm asking you to work in our hearts that if there's some area that you are present but not preeminent, or maybe in some Christian life you're prominent but you're not preeminent. And I'm praying, Father, that you give us grace to just move that bit more, Lord. Surrender a little bit more as you work in our hearts, because only you can do that. Eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I just want to ask this question. Brother Johnny, pray for me. God has touched some areas of my life that I need to surrender to Him, perhaps in a small way. So would you pray for me that God will work out in my heart? Is there anyone? See that hand. See that hand too. Anyone else? Brother Johnny, pray for me that I will surrender bits and pieces to the Lord as we go, as the Lord touch my heart. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those that put up their hands. God, I pray for additional grace. And oftentimes it could be a hindrance. Oftentimes it could be a sin. Oftentimes it could be something, Lord, that is hindering you from really being first place. Lord, I pray for the brethren put up their hand, that you strengthen them with the spirit of your power. And that, God, that they will have full confidence, Lord, that when they put you first, Lord, all the things will be added to you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We ask you to help us to put you first always. Lord, we love you. Lord, we are sorry that sometimes we can't fulfill that love totally, but we want to. We pray that you, through your Holy Spirit and through your word, will help us. Oh, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.